Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, it's a pleasure to welcome a first-timer into our beautiful studios here in downtown Exeter, Rhode Island. Valerie Remillard is here. Welcome, Valerie.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Nice to have you with us. And you are representing the Community Players, which again, I believe, is a new group for our airwaves anyway.
Mm-hmm.
They're out of Pawtucket. Is that correct?
Correct.
Pawtucket, Rhode Island, and been around for more than a couple of years.
More than a couple, 98 to be exact.
98 years mm-hmm. as a group. Wow, the Community Players, Pawtucket, Rhode Island. And you're going to be presenting a play called Almost Maine. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about you first, and then we'll get back to the play. Are you a longtime Rhode Island person?
I am a longtime Rhode Island person. I grew up in Cumberland and went to college in Massachusetts and then moved to Rhode Island after college, but ended up back in Rhode Island, as a lot of people do, because it's a great place to live. And so now I live with my two children in North Kingstown.
In North Kingstown. Okay. So a little bit of a distance from Woonsocket. That's like another country or Cumberland.
It's like anytime you have to cross over Providence to get somewhere, you have to pack a lunch, right? Isn't that the joke here?
That's the way it works. Okay. Well, welcome to South County, as I say. And in your schooling, were you always interested in theater?
I was. I believe I did my first play. I was 14 years old, and it was a church theater festival. It literally took place in a church basement. And it wasn't much. Production values weren't much. And I'm sure it wasn't the best performance I ever gave, but I absolutely loved it. I was so nervous. I had such severe stage fright that my mother told me later that she thought somebody was going to come from backstage and tell her that I had just gotten sick and I needed to go home. I was so nervous, but it was amazing. And I remember leaving the stage feeling like if I really wanted to, I could fly off the stage. It was such a powerful feeling of identification that this is what I want to do. And I've been doing it ever since. And now I get to work with young people in my day job. I work with young people and I sort of get to cultivate them doing exactly the thing that made me so excited when I was young.
So did college bring you further education in the theater?
Yeah, I majored, the full title of my major was Theater and English Dramatic Literature. I went to a liberal arts college, and I guess it was really important for them that they have that English literature component, that they be identified as, it's not just a theater major, we are not just, it wasn't a conservatory, to be fair. And I really did want a liberal arts education, so, I have a nice fancy title to my major, but it was great, and it allowed me to, one of the great things about Wheaton College, which is where I went, is that I think they really cultivate lifelong learners and self-starters, so I was able to go to New York with my liberal arts background in theater and kind of just figure it out for myself and get work out there, and it was a great place to learn, and New York was a great place to learn, mm-hmm. But I'm really happy to be in Rhode Island and working with the community and being close to my family and, working with kids doing theater.
Well, school wasn't far away. Norton, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So just a hop, skip, and a jump,
yep.
All right? So we found out about your college and your life thereafter. Now, are you always with the Community Players, or do you travel around to other groups?
No, I'm pretty diverse in who I'll work with. There's a lot of great people in Rhode Island to work with, so I'm not exclusive to them, but I do have a history with them, and this is going to show my age, but I was their scholarship recipient in 1994, so they actually supported me. I earned it. I had to audition for it, and the scholarship program is still running now. They supported me going to college for performing arts, and it was very meaningful to me at the time because I remember everybody in college is trying to tell you not to major in theater. Everybody wants you to major in communications or finance or something more stable. Everybody wants to tell you how unstable it is to major in the arts.
I know the story very well.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
Although 1994.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the shirt I'm wearing was older than that. Not that long ago. But I have a quick story like that about going to college. I had a chance to be a theater major and get a full scholarship, and I turned it down because of a guy that had gone to my high school that went on to college and then quit college to become an actor, and we all laughed at him because he was going to amount to nothing. I went to Pilgrim High School in the 1960s. That'll give you a little bit more of an age idea. And the guy's name was James Woods. That went to our high school, and he quit school and wanted to be an actor. We all laughed at him and said, well, that'll never work.
Mm.
And we didn't hear from him for about a year. But then we did. Couple of Academy Awards, that kind of stuff. But so you never know how it's going to work out.
You never really do. And it meant a lot to me. You know, I have, blue-collar parents, like working class. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. My dad worked very hard to support us. And so it meant a lot to me that somebody said, we believe in you, and here's the scholarship to show you how much we believe in you. So when people were telling me it wasn't practical for me to major in theater, I had this sense of ownership that, like, well, somebody gave me this money, and I told them I was going to do it. So I'm going to do it. And so those scholarships really helped keep me focused and reminded me and gave me the confidence to just say, you may be right, but I'm going to try anyway. I'm really excited to be back with the Community Players. I don't think I've actually done any work with them, you know, since going to college. So it means a lot to me to be working with them. They gave me a scholarship to do this. And here I am all this many years later, and I'm still doing theater.
Mm-hmm.
And now I get to do this beautiful play with them about love. So
that's our next point. The play is called Almost Maine. It's not a musical, which is a little bit interesting for conducting conversations because a lot of our program is music. So we've come up with something a little unique, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're going to have some what you're calling transition music between the scenes.
Yep.
And we're going to take some of those songs that people might hear if they attend the play, and we'll find out more about the play. But let's get to a little music interlude here. And this first piece is Moondance, right?
Yep.
Well, that'll set the scene for us.
Absolutely.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance, with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low. You know the night's magic seem to whisper and hush. You know the soft moonlight seems to shine in your blush. Can I just have one more moon dance with you, my love? Can I just make some more romance with you, my love? Well, I wanna make love to you tonight. I can't wait till the morning has come. Yet I know now the time is just right, and straight into my arms you will run. And when you come, my heart will be waiting to make sure that you're never alone. There and then all my dreams will come true, dear. There and then I will make you my own. And every time I touch you, you just travel inside. Then I know how can't hide. Can I just have one more moon dance with you, my love? Can I just make some more romance with you, my love? chance. A fantabulous night to make a romance. Near the cover of October skies, all the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. And I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low. In all the night's magic seems to whisper and hush. In all the soft moonlight seems to shine in your blush. Can I just have one more moon dance with you, oh my love? Or can I just make some more romance with you, oh my love? One more moon dance with you in the moonlight on a magic night. La, 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 la. Magic night. Can I just have one more moon dance with you, my love?
Well, now that I'm in that loving mood with moon dance, I need to find out about the show. It's called Almost Maine. Mm-hmm. It's going to be put on by the Community Players from Pawtucket. And Valerie is the director. And Valerie, let's just get a little bit. I'm not familiar with the show. Almost Maine. Does it mean like it's New Hampshire?
No. It's in Maine. So Almost Maine is a fictional town in Maine. Technically, it's unorganized territory. So it's almost literally a town, according in the world of the play, at least. So they call it Almost, and it's in northern Maine. And I don't know if you've ever driven through Maine or like on your way to Canada. Northern Maine has a lot of space. It has a lot of trees. And it has a lot of space. It's very possible for you to not be able to see your next door neighbor from your window, because there's a lot of space between homes. There's a lot of property. It's beautiful. There's a lot of sky. So
it's more beautiful in the spring and summer than it is in the winter, I'll tell you.
I've only driven through during the spring and summer, so you may be right about that. I've actually never driven through in the winter, but it's actually the piece takes place during the winter. There's snow on the ground, so it's really a lot of open sky because the leaves don't have trees. So it's this one night in Almost Maine, and it's a collection of these nine scenes, and they all take place at the same time. We see them one after the other, but they're all taking place at the same time. So you're getting to see a glimpse of each different characters, different people who live in the town, and what's going on in their lives on this particular night. It's a Friday night, I believe. And it's also a night where you can see the northern lights pretty clearly. And so the end of each scene is marked by the northern lights. And that's sort of the indication to the audience that they're all taking place at the same time, because each scene is punctuated by the character seeing the northern lights.
Cool. So the scenes are not a change of scene as far as chronology. It's a change of character, so to speak.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. We're getting to rewind and go back in time and see another place, another couple of people, and what they're doing at that same time.
All right. Well, let's get one more piece of music in before our first break. This one's called Hurts So Good.
When I was a young
Community Players is the subject of tonight's show. I'm Mike Mano, having a pleasant evening sitting with Valerie Remillard, who is the director of a show called Almost Maine. And we just started finding out a little bit about that. And Community Players themselves are a longtime organization. Valerie mentioned 98 years in existence. How many people in the cast of Almost Maine? Two, three?
There's 19 people.
19?
19 people. And the show is normally done with a small ensemble of four, maybe six people. The scenes are mostly duets. There's one trio scene. So the actors would sort of trade off the different characters. Yeah. But it's community theater, and I decided I wanted it to feel like community. So I hired individual actors for each of the roles, and they're each working on a scene, and they spend once a week with me. They get together, and we work the scene, and we dig in, and we do blocking, and they've been instructed to get together at least once on their own.
Yeah.
And since the play is about love, and it is about, you know, the relationships, the special relationships between these characters, not just within the scene, but then also in the world of the play, which we've decided the town is really small and everybody knows everybody. So it gives them an opportunity to sort of cultivate a friendship or just build their relationship on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And besides that, it is community theater and there's only so much time in the day for me personally to get together with 19 people. So it allows for a little bit of that collaboration where they're kind of working on their own and formulating ideas, and then they're coming back to me and we're checking in and we're all on the same page. So there's 19 actors, and
I have to say that's a great idea if you can do that. Most theater groups wouldn't do that because that means more work, because and most actors don't want to just come in and do a 10-minute scene and be done for the night.
Yeah,
it certainly helps the audience, because I know one of the big complaints we used to get is when people do double roles and they say, oh, they put a hat on that guy, but it's the same guy that was, you know.
Well, and, you know, and I could. I was really fortunate, and even the board members of the community theater were very surprised. I had 50 people come out and audition for the show, and, like, the majority of them were very good.
Mm-hmm.
I knew going in that I wanted to take 19 people, but I also was flexible in thinking it might not be possible. It depends on who comes out. And, you know, in Rhode Island theater, we're always chasing men. We always get like 70% females who show up for the audition, and then 30% men, and then we're always chasing down more men.
I don't mind if you want to chase them down. That's
and in this situation, it was definitely like a half and half. It wasn't just like we were looking for one or two men. We needed the same amount of men as women. And I think this is the first show I've directed where, we said yes to 19 people and then had to say no to the rest. And I did not have to chase down men, and I didn't have to chase down anybody. And I got my wish. I got to have 19 extremely talented people. There were some other really talented people that we couldn't use.
Sure.
It was an outstanding show at auditions. And like I said, there were 50 people. So, and everybody in the cast seems really excited to be there. Like, I agree with you. And I thought the same thing, that, like, I wonder if people are going to see this and say, well, it's not worth my time to do one scene. I mean, certainly I have two children and I have limited time. And I don't know if I were in that situation, if I would have even come out to the auditions. But, you know, I made it very clear. I was transparent right from the start that, you know, my goal is to hire 19 people, and so you'll each have your own scene, and so it will mean a low commitment until we get to Tech Week, and then in Tech Week, everybody buckles down and we're a team. And, you know, I reminded them of this when I offered them the role, and everybody said yes. Everybody who was my first choice said yes. I didn't
Excellent.
Have to go. But at my B group, if people had said no, I would have been equally as happy with the people that I had lined up in case they said no. It was outstanding. I was very, very lucky.
You are very lucky in that respect. That's great. And I'm sure the fact that you were directing it made a lot of people want to come.
People did mention that they were happy to work with me, and that was really, really nice. And I think I mentioned to you before we started the show that you know, it's Rhode Island, and we're small in general, but then our theater community is also very small, and I'm delighted to be working with people that I've never worked with before. There's the majority of the cast are people I've never worked with. So I'm meeting new people, which is really exciting. And yeah, they all seem happy to be there. And I'm really lucky and I'm happy to have them.
All right. Well, let's get to another piece of music. This is The Nearness of You. Sounds like a great piece to go to now.
It's not the pale moon that excites me. That thrills and delights me. Oh no, it's just the nearness of you. It isn't your sweet conversation that brings this sensation. It's just the nearness of you. When you're in my arms and I feel you so close to me, hold you ever so tight, and to feel in the night the nearness of
a show about love leads me to think that there's going to be lots of different kinds of relationships in this production.
Yes, absolutely. And that was, again, another reason why I wanted to cast 19 separate, you know, individuals as opposed to like rotating the same 4 to 6 people. 'Cause love is different for different couples, for different people, depending on where you are. And I wanted the audience, I really want the audience to come to the theater and see themselves. The playwright, John Cariani, who's wonderful, and he's written a beautiful play, but he does say specifically in the directions, in his notes, that this play is written for actors who are in their 20s and 30s. And I definitely expanded that a bit, and I incorporated people who weren't just in their 20s and 30s into the show, because I felt like, you know, it was important to show more broadness.
Mm-hmm.
Love
mm-hmm.
is a very broad subject, and
sure.
most of us don't get through this life without feeling it on some level, mm-hmm. I hope.
Well,
so,
yeah.
You know, so I really wanted the audience to identify themselves in the show somewhere, or maybe more than one somewhere. So yeah, it is about love, and it's interesting to note that John Cariani wrote, this is the third edition of the script. We originally were looking at the second edition, but then when we saw that there was another one, and he wrote this very compelling piece in the third edition about how in the wake of Me Too, it was important that he make some adjustments. An audience member, I guess, approached him after seeing the first edition of the show and said that she felt like it made her uncomfortable in one of the scenes that the man was really aggressive with the woman, but the woman ends up complying in the end. And she wrote him a letter or wrote him a note and said how she liked the play, but and being the kind of playwright that he is and caring as much about the script as he does, he made some adjustments that were sort of reflective of love in, you know, 2000, well, now we're in 2019, but, and that's the script that we're working with. So, for example, in the original first edition, there's a scene between two men that now he's added a scene between, similar scene, it's same but different, that is between two women, so that whoever's directing the show, whoever's producing the show, can sort of choose which one they want to depict. We're going with the two women scene. So I'm very excited about that I was able to, that I got such a range of people to come out to audition, and I was able to kind of break his boundary a little bit with the people in their 20s and 30s, and it's working. And we have a lot of different people on stage, and so that's been really fun. And we all know that love is universal, and it's important for me that, like I said, that when people come to see the show, that they're with the characters, that they find themselves on stage and can kind of empathize.
All right. Well, we have time for one more piece of music before we take our next break. This one is going to be familiar to a lot of people, as most of the songs you've used so far. This is Dreamweaver. We'll listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more.
Just close my eyes again. Climbed aboard the Dreamweaver train. Driver, take away my worries of today and leave tomorrow behind. Ooh, I believe
Community Players is the subject of tonight's Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Maino, sitting with Valerie Remillard, who is the director of Almost Maine, the production coming up in just about 3 weeks, Valerie.
Oh.
So get all your ducks in a row. And the theater is located in Pawtucket. And if you'd like information about the theater, you can go to, thecommunityplayers.net, T-H-E, communityplayers.net. And if you want to do it the old-fashioned way, you can call the box office at 401-726-6860. And tickets are on sale. It's not sold out yet, as far as we know.
No, but, you know, we have 19 people in the cast, and they're all going to invite their friends. So, and they all have a lot more friends than I do. So I think people should get their tickets in advance if they can.
Right. That'd be great. About how big is it Jenks Auditorium? Is that
Jenks Auditorium, I want to say there's
roughly
about 400.
Oh, okay.
So 400
that's
seats.
A big space.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And they do really well with ticket sales there. I'm actually really impressed. You know, they're right in the heart of the Blackstone Valley, and they've got really good parking. It's easily accessible.
Well, that's a nice thing, because if you go downtown to one of the other theaters, yeah, that could be an issue. So.
Right. And the tickets are really affordable, and you're getting a really quality performance. I just saw their production of It's a Wonderful Life that they did over the holidays, and I cried the whole time, just like I do when I see the movie. It was a really talented group of people, great production values. They're a community theater, but they do a really good job. They're very professional. So, you know, despite the fact that they're a group of volunteers, which is what community theater is,
of course,
they do a really great job of making a great impression. And tickets are very reasonably priced. It's a really good deal, and you're getting a lot of value because I have some talented cast, and I know that I was really surprised, impressed, emotional about It's a Wonderful Life. And you know, in the wake of that show, I hope I do a really good job. I don't want to make people cry. I want to make them laugh. I want to make them feel. And for the price of the ticket, come feel with us.
There you go. It doesn't hurt to cry once in a while. So that's, I'm sure it'll be a very moving experience. Mm-hmm. Let's get to another piece of music, and then we'll kind of wrap things up. This next one is I Won't Give Up. Anything to tell us about that?
Oh, yes. I love Jason Mraz, and I actually started, he has an album called Love, and I've had it on repeat in my iTunes account since I've taken on this show. But I also got excited about his album when I was going through a difficult time myself personally, and I remember listening to his album because it gave me a lot of hope that love existed. And so and that was a few years ago. And so it's really great to be directing a show about love and bringing in kind of the soundtrack to my life and a piece of music that really gave me hope about what love should look like and what it is. And so this is from that album. And it's also a wonderful song about not giving up on love.
Into your eyes, it's like watching the night sky or a beautiful sunrise. Well, there's so much they hold, and just like them old stars, I see that you've come so far to be right where you are. How old is your soul? Well, I won't give up on us, even if the skies get rough. I'm giving you all my love. I'm still looking up. When you're needing your space, I to do some navigating. I'll be here patiently waiting to see what you find. Even the stars, they burn. Some even fall to the earth. We got a lot to learn. God knows we're worth it. No, I won't give up. I don't want to be someone who walks away so easily. I'm here to stay and make the difference that I can make. Our differences, they do a lot to teach us how to use the tools and gifts we got here. We got a lot at stake. And in the end, you're still my friend. At least we did intend for us to work. We didn't break, we didn't burn. We had to learn how to bend without the world caving in. I had to learn what I got and what I'm not and who I am. Won't give up on us, even if the skies get rough. I'm giving you all my love. I'm still looking up, I'm still looking up. Well, I won't give up on us. God knows I'm tough. Even if the skies get rough, I'm giving you all my love. I'm still looking up.
Great music brought to you by Valerie. There you go. Valerie Remillard is here. She's the director of Almost Maine. It's going to be presented by the Community Players in Pawtucket. And the dates are pretty simple to remember. Friday, February 22nd at 7:30, Saturday, 23rd at 7:30, Sunday, a matinee on the 24th at 2 o'clock, and then the same thing the following weekend, the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. So six performances to get your chance to see the Community Players. Valerie, I can't thank you enough for coming in tonight.
It's my pleasure.
Great to have you here, and hopefully you'll be coming back frequently.
Oh, that would be great. I'd love to come back.
All right. Well, that'll be good. And we'll make it a habit. Anything else we want to talk about as far as the play is concerned, or we think we're good at this point?
Well, I think we're good, but I also would urge people, if they're looking for something, a new idea for what to get for Valentine's Day, for their Valentine, this would be a great event to take your Valentine to.
It's
you
a
can
theme
get them
of
the
love.
Tickets. Yes, it's the theme of love. But if you're somebody out there who doesn't have somebody to love, and you're looking for something to kind of give you that feeling, this show will give you that feeling. At least that's what I'm hoping for. I want people who are not with a loved one necessarily currently to come to the show and feel the feeling of falling in love, sitting there watching our actors. And I want two people who are maybe coming on a date to see the show and just remember how amazing it is to be in love.
What a great sales pitch.
I know. So get those tickets for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, that's great. Valentine's Day, February 14th, for all those guys that are out there that keep forgetting the date. February 14th. So this would be great. You can order the tickets online, or you can call the box office and get tickets, and then maybe print out something from the website that you can put in an envelope and make a nice deal, a little dinner and tickets for the upcoming show. What could be better?
That's a win-win for everybody.
And then you have to promise, after you see the program and you fall in love with this person forevermore, that you let Valerie know.
Yes, please.
Okay.
Include me in your wedding party. I need a new dress.
Okay. All right. Thanks again for coming in. And the rest of you, we'll see you next time on Conducting Conversations.
anybody find me somebody to
stand on my feet.
Take a look at yourself in the mirror and cry.
What about you tell me? I have spent all my years in believing you, but I just can't get no relief. Lord, somebody, can anybody find me? Every day of my life, I work till I ache my bones. At the end
of the day,
I take home my heart on me.
Somebody to love.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.